What should I have said?
Was it okay for me to do that?
What was the right way to react?
Was it okay for me to step in? How do I know what was right?
It's a modern dilemma.
And the dilemma this time round comes from Mary. She's written to say, weddings are significant and expensive occasions. When my son and his fiancée were planning theirs, they wrote a list that restricted guests to people who met certain conditions, namely that the guest and their plus one had to have known the marrying couple for at least the previous 12 months. They didn't err from this, even when it caused some friction with guests who'd expected to be able to bring their new partners. My dilemma is, who should be invited or expect to be invited to a wedding? Well, perhaps not so much a dilemma as a matter of etiquette, but helping to answer Mary's question here, comedian and producer of ABC TV's Tonightly program, Craig Quatermain, and comedian Nikki Britton, who's performing at the Adelaide Fringe right now. Craig and Nikki, g'day.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
So, Craig, how did you manage the guest list at your own wedding?
It was a little bit scary at first, but coming from a large Aboriginal family, there was going to be a lot of extended family that were expecting to come. And my wife is the only member of her family born in Australia, so she's Irish. So there was maybe six of them at the most that could make it. And
So the issue was on your side of the family.
Absolutely, like it normally is. And we had a very similar rule to the couple in the letter, that if you didn't know both of us equally, and you know, well aware we've met, then that was pretty easy just to decide not to invite those people.
Did that cause any friction?
Absolutely. Mm. I mean, you got to think, my mum is one of 17, my dad is one of 12, yeah. I'm one of 136 cousins. This is this is what happens when you teach people scripture instead of contraception. But we are a massive family, but the thing is, the only people that kind of put pressure on me to invite people were my parents, which I find is a pretty common thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Nikki, do you like being a guest at weddings?
I'm really lucky because I've been single most of my adult life, so I feel like I get to slip through the cracks. Usually, you know, I don't have the baggage of having an extra partner that might mean that I don't get an invite to the wedding. So I get to go to heaps of weddings all the time. And most of the time it's great to be a guest at a wedding. It is awkward sometimes at those singles tables where you have to talk to awkward cousin Eric as he talks you through his grubby divorce and his psoriasis flakes into your entree. But, you know, generally I love a wedding. Very happy to celebrate love.
And very happy to attend. Have you ever been that person, though, the plus one at a wedding? You know, I have, and I have to say that I've found it strange to be at a very significant event in the lives of people who I actually don't know. It does feel like a bit like intruding to me. How do you feel about that, Nikki?
Yeah, I would understand that. I feel like you've got to go on the offensive, really, in that situation, and just really make your invitation count. And obviously don't take over in a horrible way and offend anybody. But also, if there's a dance floor, you're going to be on it. And if there's a cheers, you're going to raise your glass the highest. You've got to really make sure that they're grateful that you came in the end, despite really not knowing you very well at all.
Well, a couple of comments from listeners. Erin says, my husband and I paid for our wedding ourselves and were catering our backyard barbecue reception ourselves. A couple of friends who we invited asked if they could bring boyfriend's girlfriends who we'd never met before. We said, sorry, but no. We had a maximum limit on how many people we could afford to have at our wedding and didn't want strangers taking up extra places that could have been filled by other people more known to us. So Erin's in agreement with Mary's son and fiancé. And Christine writes, I agree with not inviting boy girlfriends you don't know, but don't exclude people who have known you all your life, for example, old family friends, etc. Marriage, weddings are a social contract made in the presence of those who form and have formed you and your life. Now, that's an interesting comment too, Craig, about, you know, and this may have been tricky for you too, about old family friends.
Well, I think the issue to, only because you're just mentioning that the couples that tend to pay for their wedding, and unfortunately when there are families where parents contribute or pay for the whole thing, then they kind of control who comes and who, like they have a lot more control over. The minute, unfortunately, you give up the fiscal responsibility of the wedding, you kind of give up a lot of control as well. And at the end of the day, we, all these decisions were made on, my wife and I would always reset and go, it's our day. By that, she means it's her day. But it was very much a case of we had to make sure that we were going to be happy regardless of how anybody else felt. And it's a good gauge too of a guest if they start to kick up a stink of, like, my wife has been the best man at a wedding and I've emceed weddings. So we've been by ourselves and had to fend for ourselves at weddings where we didn't know anyone but the bride and groom. But we didn't make a fuss about that because we know it's about the bride and groom. The minute you have a guest that starts to talk about how this situation is affecting them, they probably shouldn't come.
Well, now you mentioned you come from a large Indigenous family, and I wonder if expectations around who gets invited to a wedding, who gets to decide the guest list, are, you know, particular to particular cultures, Craig. You know, I guess Indian and Greek weddings, often there are often lots of guests there and lots of family expectations around who's invited.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it varies because, again, we don't have that many weddings spread across these massive families. So when they do, they are a big event. But I've seen it happen at both ends. You can either have a small wedding that you're happy with, or you can have a big one to impress everybody. And the two people that matter the most tend to be the most miserable, and they just get swamped over. there is a bad, really bad precedent of parents using it as an occasion to show off their kids, as opposed to the two people that are actually getting married. They get forgotten about. So it happens at both ends. I promised my wife that we wouldn't do that, so that we kept it as small and all the important people came.
Nikki, what's the biggest wedding you've ever been to?
I was actually in India at the end of last year, and I sort of got an accidental invite to a wedding. That not accidental, surely they wanted me there, but I didn't know these people very well, and I was so flattered and grateful that I got to share in this incredible event that was just beyond anything that I've ever experienced before as far as weddings go here in Australia. But I mean, look, you're just sort of one in a crowd at a wedding like that. There was no huge pressure to recount stories of how you'd bonded with the couple years before or anything, because a lot of people, I mean, there were about 500 or 600 people at this wedding. A lot of people really were just acquaintances. But that, it's sort of a festival of the love of these two people, which is an entirely different experience, I think, to what our writer has asked, yeah, and the situation she's expressed.
It's an act of great generosity, really, isn't it? An insight into another world, and one that feels like a great privilege, actually, in the way you're describing that.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what it was. And, you know, there's probably very good reason that we don't do weddings like that, just because I can't even imagine the financial situation that it would take to put on such an extravaganza. But as a guest who didn't know people very much at all, the wedding, the bride and groom, let alone any of the other guests, it was glorious and such a privilege. And so, yeah, I was really grateful to have the opportunity to go to that, you know, at least once in my life.
Here in Life Matters, this modern dilemma is the question of who should and shouldn't be invited to a wedding. Mary's son and his fiancée decided on some pretty strict rules about it. The only guests are those they've known for more than a year, so that means no new partners can come along as the plus ones. Now, another comment from a listener on text. Chris says, I hate being invited to weddings. The ceremony is fine, but the idea that my friends will spend a stupid amount of money on an overpriced meal, often going into debt for it, really bothers me. I'd rather pay a few $100 for a ticket to the wedding so I could know they're not starting married life in debt. Now, there is a very interesting idea about how to expand your guest list. Make people pay. What do you think, Craig?
I've got a real personal issue with registries, gift registries.
No, I mean paying for the reception.
No. But yeah, that's what I mean. Like when you start to turn it into, when you merchandise your wedding, I start to have a real issue with that. The debt, I think the national average for weddings rose something ridiculous. It's like the average cost of a wedding now is $50,000, I believe. And that, I couldn't even pretend to know how to spend that much money on one party, essentially. So you
think limiting the cost rather than charging people to come?
I wouldn't pay to go to one, so I couldn't.
You would or you wouldn't?
I wouldn't. I couldn't. Right. Yeah, I mean, I think he's coming from a nice, from a good place, though. I think that by suggesting to pay for the ticket, he's relieving the stress, the financial stress on his friends. I like that suggestion, but I don't know. It does blow out ridiculously and over stuff. Like at the same time, though. Going to a lovely wedding is a great experience. So if it's your wedding, maybe keep it on the cheap. But as a guest, you know, let them pay what they want and ride that thing till the wheels come off.
Well, Nikki, finally, should Mary, as the parent of one of the couple under discussion here, does she have any say in the matter of guests?
Oh, I want to say, look, Mary's opinion will definitely be taken into consideration by the couple, I have no doubt. And the fact that she's written in and is so concerned, I'm sure that she has definitely expressed her concerns to her son and potential daughter-in-law, you know, and I'm sure that they're aware of it. But I kind of think that it is up to the couple. I think that the choice does lie with them, and it sounds like they really want a day that is about the closest people in their life witnessing this vow that they're making to each other. And despite me wanting to kind of just bound along to any wedding I possibly can because I love and I love an event and an opportunity to frock up and have a drink before midday, it ultimately is probably a very sensible decision and going to lead to a day that is full of integrity and joy and very happy memories. So, I'm sorry, Mary, but
right.
Probably.
So, Nikki Britton is doing her show Romanticide this weekend at the Adelaide Fringe Festival, and she heads to Melbourne from April the 2nd. Craig Watermain is a comedian. You can see his show, The Quarter Blood Prince, at the Melbourne Comedy Festival from the end of the month. Thank you both, Nikki and Craig, for joining us in this Modern Dilemma. Now, if you've got one of your own that needs solving, you can email it to us here at Life Matters. The address is lifematters@abc.net.au. Always keen to hear from you about a situation in your own life, a conundrum that's left you confused, not sure what the right thing to do is. Share it with us. lifematters@abc.net.au.